welcome to the Pick and Whistle Tales from Azeroth. As always, here at the Pick and Whistle Inn in Stormwind, I go for a variety of subjects with regards to World of Warcraft, so grab a bottle or a pint, sit back and enjoy. This episode, we'll be looking at Mists of Pandaria, and now that it has been released, I can give you a very good sort of feedback, what's happening with it, what it entails when you jump into it, what you can get from it, what you benefit from it, what's good, what's bad, etc. I do have to start off by apologizing for the lack of an episode almost on Wednesday and Thursday. I didn't feel great, I'm not gonna lie, when I went to record. So hopefully I can make it up in this one and in the next coming weeks. But we will always start off with the weekly news. So we have Basil's Cully Elders and Aerostar as your weekly world bosses for the week. They are located in Azurspan, Zarilak Caverns, and oh god, what is it? It's I've forgotten it. Emerald Dream. That's the one. We have Lich King Time Walking and Pet Battles as your bonus events for the week. So if you want any mounts or pets from Wrath of the Lich King, you can use Time Walking badges to buy these. And Pet Battles, this increases the levels at which your pet battles gain levels quite fast. I think it's like 50 or 100%. It's either or, but it is a very good time to do your pet battles if you're wanting to do that. Arathi Blizzard is your brawl for the week. This is essentially Arathi Basin, but the layout of the battleground is a lot more obscure, and it's a bit more snowy and hilly and stuff like that. And you can't see about 15 yards in front of you, so it gives you that element of surprise. Afflicted, Raging, and Fortified are your mythic affixes for the week. Afflicted is more of a healer affix, where essentially there are one or two shades that spawn and you simply have to dispel it or heal it up. Raging, when a mob gets below 30% health, it will do 100% increased damage, so kill it quickly, kite it, soothe it, do whatever you can, but make sure you're not getting hit by it. And Fortified, essentially the non-boss enemies have more health and do more damage, so bring a talent build that can accommodate for that. So, with all that being said, Mists of Pandaria, what is it? Or Mists of Pandaria Remix, what is it? Essentially, you have your Dragonflight characters, so spells from Dragonfly, talents from Dragonfly, all of that stuff, and you make a character on this remix, like, server, I want to say? It's on the same realm as your main characters, but kind of like Plunderstorm, you just click a little thing at the top on the main menu, and essentially it will bring you, bring up a pop-up that says, do you want to make a Mists of Pandaria remix character? And when you make your character, it will have this little hourglass next to that character's name to symbolize that it is a Mists of Pandaria remix character, just so you aren't confused. Essentially, what Mists of Pandaria is, it's you start at level 10 and the Bronze Dragonflight are taking you through the continent of Mists of Pandaria. And this includes all of the old quests, you know, everything that you can think of that was in Mists of Pandaria is in Mists of Pandaria. And you get this currency, this new currency called Bronze. Now, what this currency does is essentially allows you to buy whatever mog you're looking for. Mog, mount, you know, whatever it is you might want. Essentially, you can buy loads of different things. Dungeon transmogs, raiding transmogs. You've got your looking for raid mogs. You've got your normal, you've got your heroic, and your... There wasn't mythic back in the day, was there? No. So up to heroic. And then you've got the normal sort of, you know, class mogs, which are, you know, for druids, there's several. You've got your normal sort of adventuring questing gear that you can get. And this all costs a certain amount of bronze. Now, if you are someone who is a collector, you will be spending a lot of time. in Mr. Pandaria Remix. I mean, a lot of time. So I bought a couple of tier sets, not tier sets, but like set pieces on Mr. Pandaria already. I had about 10,000 bronze. So I have spent all 10,000 on it, of it. Now you might think, oh, 10,000 seems like quite a lot. So one of these like sets essentially was 5,000 bronze. And two of the others were 2,500 like bronze. So it really does go quickly. And to put it into perspective, these are the cheaper like transmogs or sets that you can buy. The highest sets that you can buy, something along the lines of like 8,000, 10,000, I think. And they are like really good. Like this is just like armor sets as well. Whereas if you're looking to get like mounts, you are looking at 2,000 being on the low end and something along the lines of 38,000. No, 380,000 or something. Was it 380,000 or 38,000? Might have been 38. I feel like 380,000 is a bit too much. So yeah, you're looking at 38,000 like high end. And all of these vendors, there's probably about 10 vendors in total, all having different bits and bobs, you know. And they all have about anywhere between 2 pages worth of items to, like, I think the most was 8 pages. 6 or 8, I can't remember which, but anywhere between that. So it is a lot. You're looking at like a potential million in terms of this currency bronze that you'd have to spend in order to collect everything. Now that is a lot. I think a million might be a little bit overdoing it, maybe more like 500,000. But it is still a shit ton of like bronze that you would need to collect in order to get what you want. Now, many people might go in there with an agenda on what they want. So if you do and you get a little bit overwhelmed with everything, what I highly encourage you to do is go through all of the vendors and pick out which, like pick 5 things that you want. So pick out 2 armor sets, pick out a couple weapons, and pick out a mount, you know, and then add it all up and then be like, okay, if I get this much bronze, I will be able to afford this. And then I can either stop and be very satisfied with what I have, or I can do another list and go for that next set of like currency and get that much. I think that's the best way to do it. You kind of break it down into segments almost, or you can do it the hoarding way, which is I am not going to buy anything until I am maxed out on my bronze currency and just have a massive spending spree, which I do have to add would be very, very satisfying for a lot of people. Now, obviously, I'm not sure on the max amount of currency of bronze that you can have. I'm pretty sure it was something along the lines of 99,000, I think. I cannot confirm that, though. I'm pretty much just making that up, I think, from the top of my head. But I think that if you spend a lot of time on Mr. Pandaria Remix, I think you would easily collect everything that you need, or all of the currency that you need in order to get everything that you need from these transmog vendors, from the people selling you these cosmetics, essentially. Now, if you are someone who doesn't really care about cosmetics, this probably isn't for you, Mr. Pandaria Remix. If you never did Mr. Pandaria when it was current content, it's not a bad way to experience the the continent, the sort of zones of the Jade Forest, Valley of the Four Winds, Vale of Eternal Blossoms, Kunlai Summit. You know, it's not a good way to experience that, but a lot of people are just there to farm some cosmetics, essentially. And that's what all of this is. It's just a giant cosmetics farm, which I do have to say is very, very good. I think it is a very good call from Blizzard to do something like this. I think if they did something like this and it was related to your player power somehow in Dragonflight, I think it would make it really, really shit. So, Missa Pandaria Remix gives you a lot of different bits and bobs like that you can play around with. I do want to state that some things in Missa Pandaria Remix are not there, though. And these are these things. You cannot use the Auction House characters that are in Missa Pandaria Remix. You cannot pick up professions. The area of play is only limited to Pandaria. If you do manage to get somewhere else, you will be teleported back within a few seconds, apparently. You cannot use heirlooms in a time walking character's on a time walking character. You cannot mail time runner characters to Dragonflight characters. So this will be on your server. So for my example, I am on Dark Moonfair EU. My Dark Moonfair characters in Dragonflight cannot mail something to my Missa Pandaria time running character, and vice versa, because it just makes sense. Time running characters at the end of the remix will be converted into a regular Dragonflight / War Within character, and all the gear will be replaced with regular gear appropriate to their character level. So if you're a level 30 when you come out of it, you'll be given, you know, the basic level 30 adventuring gear. If you come out at level 70, max level, I'll be very intrigued to see what you come out as, like, level or gear-wise. But hopefully it's nothing too crazy. I would hope that it's decent enough, though. I would really hope that it's decent enough. Grouping. Time runners will be permanently phased from Dragonflight characters and cannot do activities together or even group together. However, time runners can join regular Dragonflight guilds. That way you can enjoy talking to your guilds when playing both Dragonflight and the remix, which is really, really good and makes a lot of sense. Now, I've spent a fair bit of time on this already, even though it's been out for a day, just to get as much information that I can. And I think that it is very, very good. So firstly, we have 94 days as of this episode coming out, remaining on the event. So this will take us into, oh god, what is that? August? Yeah, end of August, which is really, really good. I think that having a 3-month sort of time scale for this sort of thing is really good. It gives people they're not panicking because they have no idea when it will end, and they're not rushing because they know that it will be up for a while yet, which is really good. Now, the leveling and stuff, people thought it was going to be Missa Pandaria, and you get the Missa Pandaria spells and stuff. That is not the case. It is pure Dragonflight talents, spells, and everything. You're just leveling in Pandaria. That's it. Now, what you do get is something called a Cloak of Infinite Potential. And you will never unequip this cloak. And essentially what you do with this cloak is nothing. It will automatically upgrade when you loot stuff. So when you loot stuff, mobs in Pandaria have a chance to drop items. These items do not go into your bag. They simply go immediately onto the cloak. These items can include anything from a leech-like buff to an XP buff. Now, and everything in between, so haste, mastery, dodge, you know, all of that stuff. Actually, probably not dodge. I don't think dodge is there. You know, all of the other stuff in between. Essentially, what this cloak does is it will keep the stats forever, and it is an infinite potential. What it means by infinite, it really does mean infinite. So there will be people by the end of this remix on the last day who have a cloak that give them an extra 10,000% XP, let's say, because it's infinite potential. Blizzard have stated that. So when you do one simple quest, you go up about 10 levels. How amazing would that be? That's going to be amazing. What this makes it easier to do is level alts. So if you do manage to get a really good potential cloak, or like you level up your cloak on your main and you want another mage, let's say, in Dragonflight, what you can do is hop on Mists of Pandaria Remix and power level it almost to level 70 using your Cloak of Infinite Possibility or Potential, because they transfer over, I believe a certain part of them do, which is really, really good. So once you earn the cloak on one character, subsequent characters will have the option to skip this introduction questline, automatically earning their cloak and access to the rest of Pandaria. Pandwalking characters are locked to a special version of Pandaria continent and cannot leave, no teleportation, all of that. It's really, really cool. Essentially, you can boost your characters super quickly. And if you are wanting two rogues or two demon hunters, two warriors, two mages, you know, whatever it is you want, this is the best way to do it. But the thing is, you have to do the grueling task of leveling a first character and getting that cloak up to its original or best potential, essentially. So we won't see much of super fast leveling until very late on in this sort of event type thing. But there is that possibility there of speedrunning leveling, essentially. So what you can get is different kinds of bronze or different amounts. So you can get these caches. You can get a minor cache, a lesser, a bronze cache, and a greater bronze cache. All of them have different amounts of bronze in them. The minor has 200, lesser has 400, 600 for the bronze cache, and then 1k for the greater bronze cache. Now, you can go to any sort of infinite bazaar, and what they will do is have the items on hand. So, there's no point going there early, is essentially what I will say. The way that the... Going back to the cloak now, the way that it works is adding a thread is what the things that you are looting called, which increase your mastery and all of that stuff, will increase your cloak stats permanently. These are several types of threads, from primary stat to secondary stat to stamina and even experience increases. You will also receive better threads as you level up. So from level 1 to 29, you get common threads, which add 1 to your cloak. One stat to your cloak. 30 to 49 will add 3 stats. 50 to 64 will add 7. And 65 to 70 will add 12. Now, there are so many achievements, essentially. So, there are several achievements for collecting threads and adding them to your Cloak of Infinite Potential. You unlock several Pandaren cloak transmogs as your cloak becomes more powerful, and each achievement allows subsequent alts to start their WoW remix journey with some of the power you've collected from your cloaks, making leveling a lot easier. So, there are in total 12 of these achievements. They are all the same. It is Infinite Power 1, Infinite Power 2, all the way up to Infinite Power 12. This is collect 40 threads. Okay, so you loot 40 of these threads. That's how you achieve the first achievement. The last achievement is collect 4,200 threads of your Cloak of Infinite Potential. Put this into perspective, we'll round it down to 4,000. If you find about 3,500 of these threads at max level, you are adding 12 stats to your cloak each time. Now, whatever it might be. But we'll say for this purpose, XP. Yes, it will be a 12% XP increase. If you were to add 3,500 of these threads, like, it would be crazy. So I'm going to try and do quick maths in my head. You want 3,500 times 12. Now, don't get me wrong, but I think that's about... God, I'm just going to do times 10 because it's a lot easier. 35,000% XP increase. That seems pretty good, doesn't it? You also, for doing this, you get a toy reward, essentially. And what the toy reward is, the legendary cloaks that were in Pandaria, they had an animation, and these animations were based off of the celestial that you picked for your cloak. So the ox was a tanking cloak, Yulon was a healer, and the other two were DPS or something, if I'm not mistaken. But essentially, you can don the... what are they called? The aspects? I think they're the aspects. I can't remember. No, the celestials. You can don their wings. So it is occasionally don the wings of Zwen over the next 8 hours. So over the next 8 hours, you'll get these like sort of cool looking, almost blue wings for the kindness of Chi-Chi. You get these like cool phoenix looking wings almost. The essence of Yulon toy, you get these green wings, and the black ox celestial, you get this ox head behind you, essentially. It's a really cool toy, definitely worth it, and it made these cloaks very unique when you first got them back in Missa Pandaria. So this is a cool little nod to that. Now, the most fun part that I've been enjoying about Missa Pandaria Remix is the gems. As you're leveling, you'll obviously get gear, and this gear will always have a socket. And what sockets do is many different things. They basically empower your character, though, is what it comes down to. Now, there are three types of sockets. You have a meta gem, which is a usual in World of Warcraft. You have cogwheel gems, and you have the standard prismatic gem.
Let's take a quick break.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
No, wait, you have Tinker Gems as well. Oh my god, there's so many. So the Tinker Gems are primarily a speed. No, Tinker Gems are a DPS increase or healing increase or tanking like benefits or, you know, many different things like that. The Cogwheel Gem is your mobility gem, and your Meta Gem is your damage gem. So, or like your big DPS gem. So I'm going to give a couple of examples here. For a Meta Gem, you will only ever have one of these gems. So for this one, for example, Bulwark of the Black Ox, channel the Bulwark of the Black Ox for 10 seconds. Charge an enemy, removing all stuns and roots, gain a shield absorbing damage, and taunts enemies within 20 yards. Every 1 second, inflicts physical damage to enemies within 20 yards, plus 20% of damage taken by the shield. So this is a tank gem, like, right? Because it taunts everything, it gives you a shield, it gives everything, you know, damage increase, damage reduction, all that stuff. If you are to look at this one down here, which is, obviously you can't see, but something like Thundering Orb. Transform into a Thundering Orb. How cool is that? You're just a fucking floating orb. Inflicting nature damage to enemies within 30 yards over 4 seconds. While you are a Thundering Orb, damage taken is reduced by 50%, movement speed is reduced by 70%, and you're immune to all loss of control effects, which is really cool. Now, this might not be the best one, but it sounds really cool, just being a little thundering floating orb. It does sound really cool. You have something called Oblivion Sphere, a coalescent orb of pure void that increases damage taken by enemies within 15 yards by 15% for 10 seconds. After 4 seconds, The orb explodes, inflicting shadow damage and stunning enemies for 1 second. Again, just another DPS one. If you're looking for a sort of healing one, what you're looking for is like Ward of Salvation. Restore health to an ally and grant them a Ward of Salvation for 10 seconds, absorbing damage equal to the overhealing while Ward of Salvation persists. All healing taken grants absorb instead of healing. When the ward expires, it explodes, inflicting holy damage equal to the remaining absorb of all enemies within 40 yards, split evenly. So this is a healing sort of damage dealing ability. This is, can you stack up the biggest shield imaginable on your tank for it to just detonate and one-shot everything? You can? Amazing. Disc Priests, go crazy with this. You will enjoy this one. Because essentially, all your healing is transformed into a shield. But, you know, Disc Priests obviously just have Rapture, so you just spam shield even more. And, you know, it becomes even more tankier and stuff. Or you just pump a massive cooldown into it, you know, that sort of thing. But there are many different, like, metagems that you can use. And honestly, it's about playing around with them. The cogwheel gems are your sort of movement ability gems. You have very common ones, which is stuff like Spirit Walker's Grace for Shamans. You have Wild Charge from Druids, Stampeding Roar from Druids. You can get Leap of Faith, Disengage, Sprint, Roll, Blink, Heroic Leap, Pursuit of Justice, which is a bit of a weird one. But you can get a few ones that are a bit different. So even though these are movement ability, they're classed as movement ability, you can get stuff like Vanish. So allows you to just vanish out of sight and, you know, be very safe. You can get Dark Pact, which is really, really weird. You can get Soul Shape and Dora Shadows, which are old Shadowlands Covenant abilities. These are really fun to play with because we don't see them in the game now that we aren't in Shadowlands. So it's nice and fun to have them. But it's very much dependent on what you want. Again, you can only have one cogwheel ability. So make sure that you pick wisely and kind of make it that it fits your class. Like Soul Shape will fit most classes. Dark Pact might be good for the tank like role. I'm not going to lie, for tanks, Dark Pact probably seems like the best choice. Vanish for obviously those extra rogues. I'm wondering if you already know Vanish. That okay, it keeps you in stealth for 10 seconds if you are a non like stealth user essentially, or like not a rogue or a druid or something where you can just go in stealth after. So it is a 10-second vanish, essentially. You aren't permanently in stealth. Not every class has a stealth. That's all it is. But these are really fun, and you'd have to experiment to see which one feels right for your class, essentially. Now, the Tinker Gems are very much DPS's increase, but there are some that are a bit different. So you have Unk, which is where it will return you to life, kind of like a cheat death. It is a 2-minute cooldown, which is really, really good. But you have loads of different things. Like this one I actually am playing around with at the moment. Brittle. Your abilities apply Brittle to enemies, occurring 10% of damage you deal. When Brittle enemy is slain, it explodes, inflicting frost damage to enemies within 12 yards. So you can have a chain reaction, essentially, with this if you're constantly pulling more and more mobs and, you know, your Brittle explodes and then that deals more damage to more mobs. So, you know, that accumulates more damage, you know, and that sort of thing. And then they explode. It's really, really cool. You have stuff like Deliverance. 7% of healing is collected as Deliverance. If an ally is below 50% of health after receiving a heal from you, Deliverance will be consumed to heal up to 3 nearby allies within 50 yards of the amount consumed, divided equally. This is a healing, like, sort of, what are they, gem? And there's just absolutely loads. There is way too many to, like, go over. And I know that there's loads because about a third of my bag is just full of these, like, things. they drop like sweets or like candy or however you want to pronounce it. You know, it's absolutely incredible to see how quickly these things drop. But play around with them. There's loads that deal loads of fire damage. There's shields. There's a fire shield, frost shield that you can get. Many different things that you can do. And then you obviously have the usual gems. So you have haste gem, crit gem, mastery gem, versatility gem, armor, health, speed, and leech. Now, you'll get a green version of this, and when you get a green version, you can turn three of the green versions into a rare version, three of the rare versions into an epic, and then three of the epic into a legendary. And the legendary will obviously just have more crit, but it will also give you stamina. And no matter what, whenever you get a legendary of the like mastery one, we'll say, it will give you stamina. That's the same with crit. It will give you stamina if you get a legendary version of it. So it'll be crit and stamina, haste and stamina, versatility, stamina, etc., etc. So if you get it to legendary quality, it will always have a little bit of stamina on it, which is really, really nice. Apart from that, there isn't much to say about Mr. Pandaria Remix. It is something that people will be experimenting with and finding out more about it. But I think that it is really good to do if you are a collector of transmogs, or if you're just someone who's very curious about how Mr. Pandaria actually played, and you can see the sort of lands of Mr. Pandaria being played out with a lot of people running around and doing questing and stuff like that, and the dungeons. The scenarios are something that I think people definitely forgotten about. Scenarios are three people instances. You didn't need any sort of tank healer or group combination. You could just be three DPS, three tanks, three healers, stuff like that. And these were short scenarios that just furthered the storyline of that zone, which is really, really cool. Or it's just a standalone event. One of the best scenarios that I remember is in between the Jade Forest and Kunlai Summit. And it's something to do with Vol'jin. I'm not going to spoil it, but it was really, really good. And I think that a lot of people didn't even know that this was in the game. So I think a lot of people will enjoy the scenarios and enjoy the dungeons. I definitely think it's worth having a look, because a lot of the Mr. Pandaria sets are really, really cool. And all of these sets have different color variations that weren't in the game to begin with. This includes mount color variations. They have put them in for Mr. Pandaria Remix so that people can earn them, like during this time, which is really, really cool, and something that I think should be done a lot more often after an expansion has been finished, essentially. They should add some of these color variations somehow into the game, in my opinion. But that is where we will end it for this episode. Thank you all very much for listening. Do check out all of the socials down below. Constant stuff happening over there. But thank you all very much once again, and go with Valor, friend. Goodbye, all.